This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. So, the only thing left to say is, you win? Order now on the McDonald's app, and you can also get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus. Rewards registration required. Points only on menu items. Delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Hello and welcome to Went to Mode Kings Meadow, the show that follows the magnificent Chelsea FC women's team. Now, after a massive WSL victory over London rivals Arsenal last Friday, attention turned to the UEFA Women's Champions League quarterfinal away leg at Ajax. Emma's team was unusual in the fact that it was unchanged from the Arsenal win. In fact, it was the first time in 27 consecutive games where at least one change had been made. And that's a shout out to our good friend Harry Edwards for that stat. Now, one early scare was all that it was needed for Chelsea to go up the gears, and Lauren James was the only player on the pitch to remember football lesson one played to the whistle. She rounded the Ajax keeper, and after a short VAR wait, had her first UWCL, UEFA Women's Champions League goal confirmed. After a VAR call in favour of Ajax this time, Serge Gündoğan got on the end of a Aguero right and cross to put Chelsea firmly in control, just on the stroke of half-time. Chelsea then kept Ajax at arm's length, landing one more sucker punch in the 81st minute when Nuskin headed home from Macario's cross to put Chelsea firmly in the driving seat in this tie. And the title of tonight's show, Went to Mode Kings Meadow, episode number 127, is Nuskin nudges Chelsea towards semi-finals, which isn't funny, but best I could do at this short notice. Now we are joined, by Mr. Dane Whittle. Dane, good to see you.
Yeah, hi, how are you?
I'm very well, thank you.
Can you remember my prediction for the Ajax game?
I can look, because it's in my notepad.
Is it 3-0 or 3-1?
It's 3-1.
Close.
Yeah, no one got it right, which means...
Practically got it right.
No, practically wrong. Today didn't score. Which is a shame, because no one's got one right this season, predictions, I don't think. Which is how good we are. I don't know if you've heard, Dane, but there is another co-host on tonight, apparently.
A new girl.
Yeah, her name's Jane Chappell, new kid on the block. So welcome to the show, Jane.
Yep, I'm back. Don't know how long I'm back for, but I'm back for now.
She said she could do all the shows coming up. So that's one tonight, one Tuesday, one Friday, one Tuesday. So that's four shows in a row.
Ooh, aren't we lucky?
Yeah. Should be okay.
Going to get some nosebleeds. Now, we are recording slightly earlier than usual tonight, especially as we're always late. And that is because we are joined by Mr. Matt Ball. Matt, good to see you, mate. How you doing?
Yeah, all good. I'm sorry to everyone for changing plans, but unfortunately, things happen last minute. You have to change things, but glad to be on.
Yeah, no, it actually works out better to finish a little bit earlier tonight, so I've got some stuff to do ahead of a day out tomorrow. Now, if you are listening along live, you are in the Mixlr chat room and you can join in the show by posting it on the live chat page. If you want to join the people doing that, you head to Mixlr.com, that's Mixlr.com, and search for Went to Mode Kings Meadow. And if you sign up to a profile there, you can join in the show by posting it on the live chat page and I'll try and read some comments out as we go. And if you are listening on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, on the Went to Kings Meadow platform, make sure to leave a nice 5-star review to make me feel good for no other reason other than that. And now on the show tonight, in part 1, we're going to look back at the win over Ajax, and in part 2, we're going to have a quick preview of the West Ham match this Sunday in the WSL. And we're going to do all that after this short interlude. Right, let's get straight into the lineup. Chelsea in their 4-4-2 formation with Hannah Hampton in goal. The back four with Perisic, Jess Carter, Kadisha Buchanan, and Neve Charles. Johanna Ritten, Cameron, Aaron Cuthbert, Manny Leupolz, and Gura Wrighton line up in the midfield with Zirkzee Musah supporting Lauren James in attack. Emma Hayes used 5 substitutions, bringing on Ashley Lawrence, Kat Macario, and Jelena Cankovic. Just the first two for Cameron and James in the 74th minute. Then Kankovic came on for Cuthbert in the 84th, and then Ingle and Beaver-Jones on for Leupolz and Neve Charles in the 87th minute. That left Tchira Musovic, Fran Kirby and Katie Cox as the unused subs. Stats-wise, Chelsea with 52% possession, 13 shots. 6 on target, 2 corners and 7 fouls to Ajax's 48% possession, 9 shots. 2 on target, 2 corners and 9 fouls. Dane, as we spoke about in the preview for this one, we expected the lineup to be as similar as possible, perhaps just one change, but it was as it was. You know, Charles back in the team after that injury scare, and Wrighton keeping her place.
Yeah, well, I think I said maybe two pushing 3 at most, but we needed to go as strong as possible. And I can only presume Emma thought it worked so well against Arsenal. Well, let's try this away at home, you know, it's Champions League night. And yeah, I think it worked magnificently well. I thought it started a little bit, a couple of heavy passes, a couple of short passes. Hannah looked a bit nervous in goal. Well, not nervous, probably overconfident. But when you are a confidence player, it doesn't always come off, which is a risk if you're a goalie. We like playing with the ball at your feet. But yeah, apart from the first 10 minutes, that's me being picky. I was really impressed with the setup. Really impressed with the substitutions. Maybe Ingle could have come on earlier, I thought. But overall, yeah, listen, 3-0 away from home, quarterfinals of Champions League, you should have nothing to moan about, really. I'm just filling space by being picky.
Well, we'll see if we've got anything to moan about as we go on. Matt, just coming to you. You know, we spoke about this team against Arsenal sort of being able to set up and break against Arsenal on the counter-attack and looking at it going into Europe away, doing the same thing. Did make perfect sense, and that's why, you know, for the first time in 27 games, Emma didn't make any changes.
Yeah, I mean, it does help that we don't have many people to change it on the bench with any at the moment with all the injuries. But yeah, I mean, the way we played against Arsenal and how well we played, it just made sense to keep it as it is. Obviously, we've got a lot of games coming up, and I think the return fixture will probably be the time where we will make some changes before the cup final. But it's good to get effectively get the game won before we go to Stamford Bridge, or at least pull it in our own hands.
Yeah, 1 foot in the semi-final, I would say. Just the second one to join next week.
Or clog. Yeah. 1 clog in the semi-final.
Well, if you want to say that. I wouldn't say anything rude about the Dutch people, in case there's any listening. Jane, there was a bit of an early scare of Ajax in the post, but it did prove to be quite a good wake-up call for us.
Yeah, I think after that sort of near miss, I did jokingly say just before, I was like, oh, here comes their one goal, because I put a 3-1 prediction. And then the ball sort of like rolled towards the net. I was like, oh, I've jinxed it. So I'm glad it did bounce the other way. But I did feel like it gave us the kick to sort of switch on and think like, come on, we've got this and we've got to get the win.
Yeah, and then from that, you know, I've noted down Lauren James in particular, the way she was able to get on the ball to sort of help control the tempo of the game and get Chelsea up the pitch was quite pivotal in the way we played, wasn't it?
Yeah, dropping really deep in some parts of the game. James, right, I think they were trying to hit us on a counter-attack and there was a little bit of space in between our midfield and defence, a big pitch there. in that arena. But you're right. When Lauren was coming deep, Nusskam was pushing a little bit further forward, not enough to be like a full-on striker, but enough to like navigate a certain area. And then obviously when Lauren comes, she's so strong on the ball. You could see if it was someone maybe less powerful than her, she could have got away with a lot more free kicks. You know, winning free kicks away in Europe is another thing that you need to be very smart with. But she didn't really need to. She was strong, held off two or three players at some time and brought other players into the game and opened up the pitch.
Yeah, I mean, Matt was thinking to talk about Lauren James before this season. You know, is those big game moments. You know, can she step up when Chelsea need her? And to be fair, this season, I don't think there's been a big match. You could probably point out the WSL game against Man City at home, but she has stepped up and delivered for Chelsea when needed.
Yeah, and I think it's just a testament to her. Obviously, at her age, she's still a very young player, early in her career, and the fact that she can step up in these big games, especially at the moments where there aren't other big players, as many big players around. You've got no Sam Kerr, you've had Gura Wrighton in and out of the squad, you've had Frank Kirby in and out of the squad. But Lauren has just kept it consistent, and in the moments that we need her, and not necessarily just scoring goals when we're already 2-3-0 up, she's scoring the game-changing goals to push us through this season.
Yeah, and Jane, she was the only player on the pitch to play to the whistle, which is, you know, what you're told to do at a very early age playing football. And thank goodness for VAR in this instance.
Yeah, I don't know why it took so long with VAR, and it was a good job. Sort of, she did kick it. I think she knew that she wasn't offside, unlike the Ajax players thought that she was. I know my dad did turn around and was like, oh, she should have kicked it into the goal, because he didn't realise she did actually score it. But that's what I feel like VAR is either really useful or it will play in our disadvantage and we will hate it at one point as well.
Yeah, I mean, there was obviously two big VAR calls. Dane, one obviously correctly putting Lauren James's goal as given, because it came off the Ajax defender last, meaning she was onside. And the second one on Nusskam, you know, a lot of people online saying that this wasn't correct. I think it was, because I think the defender would have cleared the ball if she wasn't there. So I think she's interfering. Your thoughts on VAR, first of all, and then secondly, that Nusskam call?
Well, again, both decisions did take a bit of time, which we're used to through watching the men's game. Yeah, again, you know, if the shoe's on the other foot and that goal is sort of given against us, then we would have had a few complaints. I wanted to rewind. I wanted to have a really good look at it. But then we'd scored quite soon after, didn't we? So I didn't have a grumble for too long. I was planning to go back at half time and have another look. But once we scored that second goal, I didn't think any need to. So I didn't look into it too much. But you're right. It did seem like a lot of players just presumed it was offside as well. And brilliant for Lauren just to carry on. Because I suppose that thought mindset is just to, for God's sake, make me shrug your shoulders and kick it away to an extent. So to carry on, it was very smart by her.
Yeah, and Matt, what's your thoughts on the VAR calls? And there's also, you know, after the disallowed goal, the Lauren James, I think, should have had a penalty. Wasn't given. I'm not sure if the ball actually went out between that and Chelsea scoring their second goal. But, you know, I feel like it's something that needs to come into the women's game sooner rather than later.
Yeah, and I think both. I think the decision, the first decision, was fantastic. And we wouldn't be talk. We potentially wouldn't be talking about a 3-0 win if it wasn't for VAR. The first goal was very important to get that checked, and it took a little bit of time. But sometimes I don't mind it taking lots of times as long as I get to the right decisions. The second one, again, I can understand both views. I mean, like you said, Dean, I think the defender would have cleared it. Likewise, I'm always under the impression that if you're not interfering with play, then you're not on the pitch. Everyone's interfering with play at some aspect. So I am longly frustrated with that rule, the whole interfering with play. If you're offside, you're offside. At some point, you're interfering with play. But it is what it is. But yeah, I do think both decisions were right.
Yeah, I just think as the defender come round, she doesn't see the ball till late. And that's because Nusskam's in her way. And she sort of goes between her legs and into the net. And I think fair enough for that one. I don't think they showed the replay of the Lauren James penalty. Whether or not that's because we scored is probably the matter there. As I said, I don't think the ball went out of play. But, Jane, you know, that we get that second goal soon after this is, you know, pretty much a wild few minutes. And it's Gurrutin out wide, putting the ball into the box and Niskanen sliding in. And, you know, we've been calling for Wrighton. I know he's not been here, but we've been calling for Wrighton to play out wide for some time. And that's her best position, isn't it? Out wide where she can make those crosses into the box.
Yeah, I think it sort of all happened so fast after sort of the goal disallowed. It sort of, I know I sort of looked up and I was like, oh my God, we're going to score. But I feel like Guru does play better passing it in on the wide, like you said, and creating them goal options. You'd love her to score as well, but if she can contribute that way, then we'll have her contributing that way.
Yeah, and then it also helped, I think, you know, a record crowd at Ajax for this game. 2-0 down at half time, and Chelsea could have had a third as well before I think Luskin put one just wide. Sort of, obviously, I wasn't there, so I don't know how silent they were, but did feel a bit subdued on the YouTube stream that I was watching. And maybe sort of killed their hopes of getting a big result against us.
Yeah, what a great experience for our players, though, playing in like a stadium like that. It looked packed. So obviously, the Dutch came out and supported their team. I thought, as I said, apart from like the first 5 or 10 minutes, that's been me and Picky, I thought we sort of like stamped our authority down quite early after that and really sort of like dictated the game. And to be fair, every time they did attack, I did hear, you know, quite a big cheers, you know, to cheer them on at least to get that one goal. Sometimes when you're not, if you're not expecting too much, you know, the old school cliche, or at least if we see our team score. So they were was really enthusiastic when they attacked and when they attacked. But I think, yeah, I think Chelsea was amazingly good. That second goal. And this second goal reminded me of like the Lampard in his heyday, you know, when he'd arrived sort of like fairly late into the box and beautiful finish. Beautiful finish, very impressive from her.
Yeah, Matt, as Dane said, you know, Chelsea controlled in that first half and they finished it with 60% possession. You know, that's, you know, Chelsea at their best, really, isn't it? You know, dictating how games go and, as Dane said, stamping their authority on it.
Yeah, I think once we got that first goal, I think it really settled us down. And I think Ajax almost were caught in between what they wanted to do. Not to say, I mean, I thought generally they were, even though it was 3-0, I think they were very brave to come at us like they did, putting us under pressure. And their overall game plan, I think a few of their players, I think there was the Johannes, the 16-year-old, or... I thought she looked really good. I always like watching the European games and just looking at players and going, oh, who could we buy eventually? And I think she's definitely one to watch out in the future. Obviously, she's still very, very young. So give her a few years before she potentially comes to Chelsea. But yeah, I think overall we control the game very well. We're dominant. And I think it's important to do this against teams in the Champions League to show that we can get to the final of this competition and go on to win it. Because obviously Ajax, people say, oh, it's not the best team in the world, but they knocked out Bayern Munich. They were in a big group of death and they've got through. And did only, we would be playing PSG right now if it wasn't for goal difference.
Yeah, I mean, knocked out Bayern and Roma, two good teams. And, you know, Ajax, you know, they're going to play the way they play because of who they are, a bit Barcelona-like in that sense. Probably without the quality, you would say. But, you know, that made it all the more impressive, Jane, and it allowed us in the second half, again, to dictate the tempo of the match with that two-goal cushion. And you know that because not a lot happened between the second half and then Chelsea's third goal.
Yeah, I think going into the second half with that two goals up, it sort of not settled our nerves because I don't think we was nervous going into the game. I think... I know myself, I was a bit sort of unsure about the game because of being away and they had sort of a record crowd. I think it's harder to obviously play away when you've not got as many sort of home fans supporting you. But I feel like half, obviously not much did happen, but I feel like they felt comfortable going into it going into the second half 2-0 up. and knowing that they probably could just play it out quite easily.
Yeah, then that sort of the third goal is, you know, a sucker punch for Ajax. I think it absolutely kills the tide dead. You know, Nusken in the box. It's good work from Buchanan actually to get the ball in the midfield into Ashley Lawrence, who finds Mukhairo out on the right. And an inch perfect cross from her, and Nusken with a great headed, you know, goal into the net to seal a great performance. And you know, that was another great Chelsea move.
Yeah, it was a really good move. I thought Buchanan had an excellent game. Sort of like, would be quite harsh to say she was purchased Erin Lawrence for these European nights, but their pedigree and experience, you know, is second to none. You know, two great substitutions at the time, bringing on Lawrence and Katerina. Another one with a hell of a lot of experience. You know, you can't look past like winning the Champions League. So to have a few players who have done that, you know, is really good for us. Lawrence's pace, you know, she played in a couple of positions when she came on, her pace that she started to link up really well with Katerina. And that was a peach of a cross, wasn't it, for Nusken to head home. You wonder how many goals she could score if she was playing like attacking the whole season, but she's such a smart, intelligent player, and because of injuries and whatnot, we've used her in a few positions across the midfield and centrally pushing towards being a forward. But yeah, it was a really, really great move.
Yeah, Matt, I think it shows, you know, what having Nusken as that sort of second striker allows, you know, the likes of Lauren James and Mukhairo to do, and the fact that they can run the channels, get the ball, you know, away from the defenders, but also Chelsea keep having, you know, that focal point of attack, which is Nusken in that instance.
Yeah, I think it's important when you're playing in the more traditional 4-4-2 or even more of a modern 4-4-2, you do need two strikers that offer different things but can also connect very well with each other. And I feel particularly, I think, in the Man City game where we were complaining a little bit about the midfield overall and the 4-4-2 formation, I feel we didn't really have that connection up top, whereas I think Nusken seems to at the moment be the answer to that, and just seems to connect well with whoever's up there, whether it's James going up there, whether Kanarid comes inside, whether it's Fran up top. She seems to be doing really well at the moment, and like Dane said, she could have got so many more goals right now if she wasn't playing a centre back, but just shows the brilliance of the player to be so versatile and good in every position she plays.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think she's going to be in goal on Sunday as well. I look forward to that. Dane obviously mentioned Buchanan briefly there. But for me, she was my player of the match last night. This was Tuesday night. And her and Jess have been criticised a little bit for their partnerships together before. But I think both of them pretty faultless on Tuesday night. And Buchanan just for me stood out that touch above. And, you know, these big European nights, as Dane said, is when she really shines.
I feel like with the likes of Buchanan, she sort of goes unnoticed. She'll play sort of brilliantly all night, but then people don't give her the recognition she does deserve. But her and Jess have been working really well recently at the back. I think it was Matt said earlier, we don't have much choice to rotate the squad too much with our injuries at the minute. But I feel like Buchanan and Jess's pairing at that back so far has been really good. And the hard work is paying off.
Yeah, probably should give a shout out to Jess Carr as well, actually, because she started the season with Millie. She's forged a new partnership with Nathalie Bjorn. And then now Bjorn's injured and Buchanan's come in. You know, she's been the ever present in that back line. I think she's played the last seven games non stop as well. So when we're talking about rotation later on in the show, I think Jess might come up in that conversation. But Dane, in terms of the second leg now, you know, Ajax are not going to score four goals without reply at Stamford Bridge. It's just not going to happen. And it probably allows a bit more rotation ahead of the Conzi Cup, which I think Emma will be very pleased with.
Yeah. Again, how much is will be the issue? There is a... sometimes, the you know, you want to keep it ticking over, especially when you're winning, especially when you're playing well. You don't want to dismount all that. So she will... could be... caught in between wondering whether how much to rotate, how many people to rest, and the fact of obviously the big game coming up after the Ajax game. So it'll be interesting. This again, you know, we've tried to second guess Emma's team selection so much over the years, so it is quite a big debate we have on this podcast. So it'll be interesting, and again, you know, based on who's actually available still, and the, you know, the subs and who could be coming back, it's yeah, be an interesting one to keep an eye on.
Yeah, a bit like the predictions, you know, the lineup we always get wrong as well.
Well,
But I blame
some of
Emma.
us get a lot more closer than others, but still.
That's because you name every player in the squad. Do a JK on me. And Matt, you know, just overall on the performance, you know, very mature. You know, they played like a team that have been competing at this level for a long time, and they have. And, you know, it just feels a bit different this year with Chelsea in this competition. You know, they seem to have a bit more maturity in these moments, and like we're building towards something special. You know, we're going to be in the semi-final, I think. And we're not going to go into that game, you know, scared of the opposition, I don't think.
No, I think we know the big teams now. We've faced them enough times and unfortunately lost enough times to know and not be scared of them anymore. And I think you're right. We look like a well-oiled machine, even though half of our machine is being fit, re being repaired at the moment. But we look so comfortable in most games, if not every game we've played in the Champions League, really. We've got that maturity in it, not just the Champions League, but every competition. I normally I'm like, yeah, I don't think any team in, well, at least in England, will do a quadruple. But if any team's going to do it, it's this team. But we've just got to wait and see, one, how many players we get back and what times, and if we can just push through all the games that we've got. But I have absolute faith that this team will.
Yeah, absolutely. Me too. Quadruple's not enough for this squad. They should invent a fifth trophy for them. Jay, just lastly, before I go on to what the player of the match poll was, you know, it was great to see a brilliant following for Chelsea last night in Amsterdam. I know it's not the furthest to travel, but, you know, it's been in recent years where you've been away in Europe, you know, with a couple of men and his dog supporting Chelsea, and the growth's just been really rapid in the last year or so, hasn't it?
Yeah, I think my first European away game was PSG back in 22. Can't even remember the year. And there was literally maybe like 20 of us, like just over, and it was sort of quite intimidating with obviously all the PSG fans as well. But I know, like, when I went to Madrid last year, when I went to Paris this year, you can see the growth in the game. There's so much more sort of fans going, and even fans from other countries that are supporting Chelsea, and that's sort of their home game for them to see their team play. So it's all looking in a positive direction, and it is good for the growth of women's football.
Yeah, the Dutch Blues made themselves known in Amsterdam. Good on them. And you know, Rich, who's on the show, was in at the front row as well with his beer, supporting Chelsea away, which we love to see. So yeah, well done to one that made the journey over there. Now, Dane, player of the match time, had Guru Rytan got 1%, Lauren James with 2%, Buchanan 27%, but Miskin ran away with it with 70%. Your thoughts on that?
I suppose, you know, a couple of shout outs to Loopholes, Melanie, I think, who had a really good game against Arsenal as well. Sometimes, you know, and I'm glad you mentioned Jess Carter as well. You know, you can't, very rarely will we say like the team deserved man of the match, but you know, sometimes performances and, you know, can slip under the radar. You know, we struggle to mention all 11, 12, 13, 14, 15 based on subs. And when you mentioned Carter, it made me think of how, as I said, how well I thought Melanie played tonight, sorry, against Ajax and against Arsenal, and how good Joanna's looking as well. Kanneridge, you know, the end ball wasn't great, but the levels she's reaching this season, you know, she's not too far away from being the player we hoped for, from maybe even reaching the writing levels of about 7, 8 months ago, you know, where she's contributing and assisting or scoring in every game. She's there, you know, the runs are good, the movement's good, the taking on the players is really good. The end balls are, you know, up, about 80% up there of being successful with finishing is could be better, but really impressed with Joanna at the moment. But to answer your question, yeah, Nusken, I think is an outstanding player. This is a 23-year-old in her first season. Hasn't even had the chance to be just sort of slowly put into this team and take her time due to injuries or whatever. But yeah, very impressed with her. And she deserved man of the match. I think women have played a match, whatever you want to call it. But yeah, they was. I reckon, again, Eve had a good game. Buchanan as well, we already mentioned. Cuthbert as well. Again, you just get so used to it. It's hard. And when you think, well, we haven't mentioned her for a while, she's regularly putting in 8, 9 out of 10 performances there. And it's amazing and to see. And there's even Matt mentioned, Wrighton earlier, and Jane both mentioned Wrighton just getting wider more. And I think, the pace and but that ball into the box. Again, brilliant. That's what we want to see from her. And look at the machine. She played the whole, what, 94 minutes. Again, she probably could do a rest as well.
Yeah, I mean, Matt Nuskin scored two against Arsenal and didn't get in the player of the match poll, mainly because she didn't know much about either goal. But she knew everything about these two, and as Dane said, I think she probably did deserve the match, even though I probably would have voted for Buchanan if I could have done.
Yeah, I mean, I think I voted Buchanan, but I can understand. I think people look at the two goals from this game. I think they'll also look back at the two goals from Arsenal and just think, right, she's playing so well at the moment, and just and almost will collectively give her man the ma woman in the match. But she was fantastic, so I can't. I'm not going to say that it's wrong, but I would give it to Buchanan personally because I think, as you said, she goes so under the radar.
Yeah, and Jane, just quickly, your thoughts on the player of the match?
I can't remember. I did vote for someone, but I can't remember if it was Buchanan or Niskin. I think I would have picked both deserve it just as much of each other. I do really like Niskin from the first game at Stamford Bridge that season, or the beginning of the season. Just before the game, I met her mum outside and she was lovely. And then within like the first sort of 5 minutes of watching her play, I was like, I really like her, like the style of play. And she's just developed so much sort of throughout the last couple of months. So, but you could have given it to her or Buchanan.
Yeah, a really great signing from Chelsea. One of those that they've scouted obviously for a while. Know she's going to fit in the team and has done that with relative ease, which is great to see. Right, we're going to go for a short break now. When we come back, we're going to look ahead at the West Ham WSL game this Sunday. Before we do that, a reminder that issue 10 of King's Meadow Chronicle is still available to purchase online via kingsmeadowchronicle.bigcartel.com. It features 36 pages of Chelsea FC Women's content made for the fans by the fans. So if you want to support your fanzine, make sure you buy a copy today. The link for that will be in the description box, and we'll be right back straight after this.
Chidge, JK, in all the years you've been following Chelsea, you hardly ever miss a match, home or away. But how would you feel if you couldn't be there and it's not on TV?
Oh, Chidge, I'd be bereft, inconsolable. The thought of missing my beloved Blue Boys live, it's all too much.
I know, JK, I know. It's all a bit too much, isn't it?
Yes.
Well, panic not. NordVPN have come to the rescue.
They have.
Yep, NordVPN allows us to watch any match, even if it's not on live TV here.
They do.
Yeah, they do. With just one click, they switch your virtual location to a country which is showing the match, and they act as your cyber bodyguard whilst online, protecting your personal data and sensitive info like card details and passwords.
Oh, wow, great. But yeah, I bet that'll cost me a fortune.
Actually, JK, it's only the price of a cup of coffee per month, and you can use your account across 6 devices. It's a bargain, JK. And best of all, no more tears for you.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, NordVPN. I'm so happy. I could cry. Where do I sign up, Jidge?
Well, to get the best discount off your NordVPN plan, go to nordvpn.com/ChelseaFancast. There's no risk with Nord's 30-day money-back guarantee, and you'll help support the Chelsea Fancast. The link is in the podcast episode description box. Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home ground advantage with McDelivery. You in? Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Welcome back to part two of Wentworth Kings Meadow. Time now then to look ahead to the WSL clash against West Ham this Sunday at the Chidwell Construction Stadium. Lovely part of the world. And Jay, no let up in the fixtures, you know, away to Ajax and away to West Ham. You know, there's no break for this team yet.
I feel like March has just been full of away games, really. Stamford Bridge is... I'll class that as an away game because it's home, but not home. So it's just, obviously we had Leicester, Man City, and then we've had these away games as well. It is just one after the other, but at least this one's a bit more local than Amsterdam.
A little bit. Dane, I suppose it's, you know, about keeping that momentum flowing, you know, keep the winning feeling going. You know, we can't afford any slip-ups in the league either. So, you know, they're going to have to be professional about it and get this game won. But, you know, we know that Chelsea can do that.
Yeah. And if you look at the potential players who could play, you know, a good 90 minutes, Lawrence could, Ingle could, Chankovic could play a good hour or even 90 minutes if needed. Beaver Jones, who we've seen start from the beginning recently. Don't know if we'll be lucky enough to get like a good 45 minutes out of Katerina as well. And you're right, keeping that momentum going, you know, we have to, on all fronts, carry on, you know, still believe. Obviously, we'll not be resting on our laurels, especially with Emma and the coaching team in charge. And it will be, as I said in our previous show, you know, business end of the season. It's just all about the 3 points and the victories for me. And with W's, it's performances sort of go out the window for me as long as we win.
Yeah, keep racking up the wins and then racking up the titles. Matt, I did see Emma talked about team news a little bit. And I believe that it's Milling's out to after the international break still. Ramirez is back. And was Bjorn back or was that a couple of weeks still? I don't know if you've seen.
I think Bjorn was still a couple of weeks, but I could be wrong with that as well. I mean, there's so many players that are out and not out that I'm just... I get confused with the dates of when. All I know is Millie's not back till after international break. But if it's just Ramirez back, then that's a bonus in itself that we can have a striker back. We'll see who comes in. I don't think Emma will rush Ramirez back into it particularly, but we'll see how it goes.
Yeah, I mean, Jane took the key. Sort of senior players, you know, Carter, Charles, Cuthbert, Wright and Lauren James, expecting all of them to start, or do you think there'll be a chance any of those will be rested?
I feel like it's a hard one. Obviously, West Ham, they're, what is there, 12 teams in the league? So they're 11th. But I feel like it's always the way when we play teams lower down, they seem to turn up against us and then it's like the hardest team to play against. So I feel like she still will put out a strong squad and probably start those players and then take them off. It is difficult when we've obviously got West Ham, Ajax and then Arsenal again. So who knows what Emma's going to do.
Yeah, obviously then we play on Sunday, then again on the Wednesday night, then again on Sunday. Given that, you know, a slip up in the league could be more costly than, you know, changing the players for the Ajax game. Our stronger side will be the one that plays on Sunday rather than the one that plays on Wednesday, do you think?
Yeah, I think, again, you know, three changes. But as you know, as I said, you mentioned all those subs and four of those subs can start. We saw Fran start recently. I know it's probably more forced due to injuries. Musovic coming, you know, it's just so hard to predict with Emma. As I said, we've got to keep that winning momentum ticking over. And, you know, let's be honest, the team she puts out there should be expecting to win. Otherwise, she won't be putting them out there. And again, you know, that hour, 45 minutes before is always an interesting sight into what we expect and what we predicted.
Yeah, well, this is what I'm going to go for, Matt. Two changes to the team. The first is Lawrence in for Perisay. Then the second is Ramirez back in the team for Nuskin. So it's a 4-2-3-1. Hampton in goal, Lawrence, Carter, Buchanan, Charles, Cuthbert, at Leopolds, and then Cameron, James, Wright, and Ramirez up front. Get the game won at half time, then look to bring off the likes of James, Wright, and couple at Liverpool's, Charles, even Carter. I know she only made 5 subs, but if she could make 6, she would. But, you know, get the game won, I think, is the most important thing for Chelsea.
Yeah, I mean, I think if you're looking at the other Ajax tie and West Ham game, obviously the Ajax game, it's not the end of the world if you lose 1-0. If you lose 1-0 to West Ham, then that's a big, much more bigger problem in terms of the grander aspects of the league. So I think, yeah, you're right. We will aim to get this one quickly and then maybe make some changes. I mean, I actually thought for the Ajax game, I'm surprised we waited to the 74th minute to actually bring people off and make some changes. But Emma likes to play the players quite a long time and doesn't necessarily like to change things massively early if she doesn't need to. But I do think for this game, she will make a couple changes. I think you're probably spot on with the lineup. I'm still 50-50 if Ramirez does start or not, but I think she will come on nonetheless, whether it's on the bench or starting.
Yeah, well, if I am spot on, it'll be a first time for everything. Jane, just looking at West Ham's fixtures this season, at home, they've beaten Arsenal and drawn with Man United. So, you know, as you said, it is going to be a tough game away from home. So, you know, picking your strongest 11 is probably the right move to make.
I feel like when they play big teams, they seem to sort of play really well. We've played them at home already, haven't we? I can't think. We must have done. I can't think what the score was.
I think it was 2-0?
Maybe. Can't even remember.
Yeah, 2-0, yeah.
Yeah, I feel like West Ham at home are a complete different team to when they play away. I don't know if it's because, like, most people, they play better sort of at home. But I'm confident that we will get the win easily, but I feel like West Ham will score 1 goal at least.
Yeah, Dave, what about you with the lineup?
Again, it's a hard one to call, isn't it? It's, you know, we could all say why this player can start, that player can start, and, you know, if we could get something out of Ramirez, you know, at least 45 minutes, and as I said, I'd like to see Cario step up and get that little bit longer. I don't know. Obviously, my knowledge of fitness and obviously in health and all that within a professional game is a big fat zero. So I don't know if she's actually got 45 minutes in her. You know, Beaver Jones as well. You know, we know how much of a job she can do. Maybe give Wright and Gura a rest. She'd probably need one. And maybe Melanie for Ingle, but I wouldn't be changing too much.
Well, we will see. I don't even know what time kickoff is for this one.
4:30.
So about 3:30.
It's on Sky.
Well, that's good.
I think.
The stream isn't too far behind normally. Otherwise, you get goal notifications from Chelsea a long time before. Let's go for predictions then. Matt, I'll come to you first.
3-1. I think we'll probably win it quite comfortably in the first 60 minutes and then make a few changes towards the end. But I'm going to guess West Ham from a corner and we'll just hold it out from there.
Yeah, I agree with you there. I'm going to go 4-2, 4-0 at half-time to Chelsea. And then a bit of chaos at the end when West Ham score with 10 minutes to go to make it 4-2. Jane, how about yourself?
I'm going to go 4-0.
4-0, why not? I like that one.
Yeah, I thought they were going to score, but I'll just say 4-0. Change it up.
I feel like we've been kind to you this week, Dane. Left some nice scores on the board.
I always try and say what I was going to say in my head before you always freaking nick it. So I'm just going to come in. Next time you're going to say, I'm just going to come in straight away. Say it before you ask anyone. I did have...
See, I can just do that. And then you can't do nothing on the show. It's still not worked. You have to unmute yourself.
Would like to unmute you. Oh, okay, that lasted. I did have 4-0 in my head when you first mentioned it, but obviously that's been taken. 3-1's been taken. 4-2 has been taken. So I'll say 3-0.
3-0, there we go. We'll see if anyone can get anything right this season when we come back on Tuesday. Johnny Superfan has gone for 4-0 as well. He's been in Amsterdam. I hope you enjoyed it, mate. Let us know your predictions. We're on social media at Mo Kings Meadow, Instagram at Went to Mo Kings Meadow. You can follow me at DMiz, Daniel's at DWit9, James at Jane Chapel X, and Matt is at MattJBall98.
Yeah.
I don't even need to write it down these days. Dan, good to see you again, mate.
Yeah, you too. It's getting quite regular now, isn't it? After I did enjoy a nice little sabbatical away from you, but now it's every couple of days.
And it seems to take ages to get going again, but
yeah,
knocking down the shows.
And it's nice to see the new member, Jane, who's coincidentally same name as the previous host we had called Jane. But I think she settled herself well, you know.
You know, we don't want to confuse too much with the name, so we kept it very simple there. Yeah. But Jane, good to see you again.
Yeah, it was good to be back. Yeah, like I said, I don't know how long it will last, but the next three I'll be on.
We'll enjoy it while we can. and Matt, always a pleasure to see you, mate. Good to see you.
Yeah, always a pleasure to come on with you guys as well.
Yeah, we'll be back, as I said, next Tuesday to look back at this WSL game against West Ham and look ahead to the Ajax second leg, where myself, Dana and Jane will be joined by Sophie Spittle and Rich Bates for that one. So looking forward to that. Now, if you do enjoy the show, you like what we do, please consider signing up to become a Patreon member. Our season ticket holders on there get early ad-free listening to the show. They also get exclusive sticker after 3 months, and they get the access to our 30 years of Chelsea women's podcast with interviews with the likes of Tony Farmer, George Michaelas, and Matt Beard, among some others. Cool stuff on there. The link for that is patreon.com/WentToMoKingsMeadow. It helps pay for things like Mixlr, Zoom, and the editing software that all costs money to produce. This show, believe it or not, is not free. Yeah, that is all we've got time for. Thanks for listening. Until next time, from Kings Meadow to Wembley, keep the blue flag flying.
It's the 90th minute. All your mates around. You've got your McNuggets share boxes ready to go. Your mates already got booked for double dipping and you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points. Perfect! Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. You in? At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.